sting of death is gone. Because Jesus is alive. Serving a living God. We believe and trust in Him who died and rose again, who conquers death, who conquers sin, who conquers Satan, the Almighty Redeemer. Almighty Redeemer, the mighty conqueror. He is our Lord, he is our Master. He is the center of our worship. He is the one we look unto. Is the great commander. He's our champion. Hallelujah. For the spiritual conflict is not of many against many. It's of one against one. It's one for all and all in one. And once one wins, all wins in him. We thank you, our great commander, because we win in you.
Amen.
We are more than conqueror in you. In the raging battle of the world, we are assured, confident, settled with this truth, that we are more than conquerors. Amen. Through him that loved us.
Hallelujah.
Not through our ability, not through our strength, not through all our activities, but through him that loved us. Him that loved us and gave himself for us. On his ground and in him we have victory. And all he has commanded us to do is to enforce that victory.
Amen.
To execute that victory. Father, we thank you for this understanding. We will not live at the mercy of the enemies. Neither will we live with our heads bowed down, but we live with our head lifted up. with our mouth full of laughter, with the songs of praise in our mouth, with the high praises of God in our hearts. We worship you, Almighty God.
Amen.
Blessed be your name, Father. Thank you for what you have communicated to us in this service today. Thank you for what you will yet communicate to us. For you are the voice that speaks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And you are right in the midst of that seven golden candlesticks. You are the one that is gathered about your path with a golden girdle. You are the one clothed with garment down to the foot, whose countenance is as sun shining in his full strength. Who has the two-edged sword, and his eyes are as flaming fire. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning of all things. He is the end of all things. In him doth all things consist. Without him, nothing is made that is made. He is the possessor of the heavens and of the earth. He is the ancient of days. He is the immortality that inhabits the light unapproachable. He is the one that lifted up his hand and said, I am, and beside me there is none other. He is the Lord God of hosts. He is the anointed one and the anointer. Who is anointed and who also anointed us. We bow to you, Lord. We are yours by the truth of birth, for you gave birth to us. By the truth of creation, for you created us. And by the truth of redemption. And by this we know nothing can separate us from you. We are eternally bounded to you. We are confident of this very thing, that you who have begun this good work in us, amen, you will complete it.
Amen.
And this day of Christ, it must be complete.
Amen.
Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Father.
Lord, as we move forward, we say, arise, thou and the ark of your strength,
amen,
and take your place amongst us.
Amen.
Speak to us, for we are eager to hear from you.
Amen.
Oh, yes, Lord, cause us to come forth from the womb of your promise. The womb of the morning. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the womb of the morning. For you have brought our attention to know that we are right in the womb of the morning. And we thank you because the day of our deliverance is just before us. Blessed be your holy name, Father.
Amen.
We give you praise and glory.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
In Jesus' exalted name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There are four things that were laid in my heart during the course as we moved worshiping. And the Lord kind of ministered to me that these four things should be things that we exercise ourselves in them so frequently. We should be acquainted with this four thing. We should receive strength and help from the Lord to walk in this four thing. And those four things have been mentioned to everyone that have come here today in worship, in song. Four principal things. And then we go straight to the ministry of the world. The body that I believe the Lord has for us for today. The number one thing is to develop an habit of seeking God's face in everything. An habit of instant in prayer. An habit of praying without ceasing. A habit of being completely, totally, 100% given to prayer. The spirit of intercession should come upon you as never before. You must be able to wait and intercede. It's an important mark upon the elect in this hour. Those who will be accounted worthy to be part of him in that glory. They must be men and women that are given to prayers. Not religious prayers that the church system have introduced us to, but praying kingdom prayers. Praying the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Praying after the heart and the mind of Jesus. Praying for the will of God to be done. Both in your life, in your family, and in the global. God is looking for men and women that will partner with him in the place of prayer. I can say there is a vacancy announced in the heavens. Heaven is looking for intercessors. Men and women that will tarry on their knees. Not for give me bread, give me sugar, give me sweet. But Lord, let thy will be done. Let thy kingdom come. You know what? These are the ones that are in the womb of the morning. They are sealed up in the womb of the morning. These are the ones that knows the beauty of his holiness. Where the womb of the morning exists. The womb of the morning is the place of the overshadowing. That's the place exclusive for the high priest. It's a place where it's the secret place. Psalm 91. And only those who have made prayer life a constancy can know what it means to abide in the womb of the morning. It's the womb of the breaking of a new day. Is the womb wherein the new day come forth. And these are the people that will announce the new day. That will tell the world, behold, a new day is come. The world is in total darkness and night season. The womb, those in the womb of the morning are those that will announce the new day. So the Bible says they are in the womb of the morning. It's a place of God incubating them. God nurturing them up. In that womb, all they have there is the table of the covenant is the Aaron's rod that bore and the pot of manna. Those are the three things that is in that womb, and they are feasting on these three things. They are related to these three elements. We'll not go to the detail of them, but those are the things. The covenant, oh yes, the tenet of the covenant is so real to them. They know the in and out of the covenant. The table, the Aaron's rod that bore, and the pot of manna. So, prayers. So if you are lacking in the place of prayer, if you are struggling to maintain constancy in the place of prayer, I believe that as our brother came to share with us, if you ask God for help in that specific area, it will come upon you.
Amen.
And you will pray. Even when you are in the office, you will pray.
Amen.
You are in the bus, you will pray.
Amen.
The body will be so much on you that if you do not discharge the body, you can't have a joyful day.
Amen.
You can't even talk.
Amen.
The body will so arrest you that when you wake up and you want to turn to the other side, you can't turn. To come upon you.
Amen.
So ask God to help you. Ask God to help you. That help is available. The second thing, which was what we did yesterday, and we should do it continuously, is our deliverance. It is not compromisable. God is not, it's not whether I like it or not. Your deliverance is compulsory. It's compulsory. It's a must. deliverance. And the Lord led us to it yesterday. And don't let it just end yesterday. Continue. Continue. Ministry self-deliverance. Sitting down before God and examining your life. The Bible says, examine yourself. Find out whether you are still in the faith. Examine your life. If you find any habit, any character, anything that you know this is not Jesus in his expression, go against it with all the might you have in you. God will back you up.
Oh, yes.
Anything, character traits, habits, lifestyle, anything that you know, it is not a representative of Jesus in his glory. Anything. And if you are truly born again, you will know those things. For the Spirit of God will make you to know it.
Amen.
He said he will take of me and reveal it to you. So you can't say, oh, I don't know how Jesus will do. You will know it. And you know it. That's why he said in the new covenant, they shall know me, saith the Lord. From the least to the greatest. So you know it. You know him. You know what he will do. You know how he will behave. You know how he will conduct himself in situations. So when you find yourself doing things that you know is not measurable to a standard, cry out for deliverance. Because at the end of it all, when all is said and done, all that God is going to gather in his age are those that are conformed to his image. Those who, by reason of constancy and faithfulness, they have conformed to the image of Christ. There are two images before the world. The image of the serpent and the image of Christ. And men are going to conform to either of these. But those who have conformed to the full image of Christ are those who will be accounted worthy to sit with him on the throne.
Amen.
The image of the beast, the image of the serpent. And it's the one that you look to more, the one that you fix your gaze more, that you become. 2 Corinthians 3:18. So we look unto him with an open face, and we are what? Changed to be like him. If you look at the face of the serpent, the dragon, with an open face, you will be like that. But none shall be like that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So deliverance. Deliverance from habits. Character trait. And if you find some habits have become so concretized, seek for help. Call for brethren. Say, brother, please, I need deliverance here. I need to be delivered. I need ministration of deliverance. But you know the most surest way is the word of God.
Amen.
Soak yourself in the word of God. When you have soaked yourself and read it and pray it and still things look not changing, look for a brother. Call him. And I tell you, deliverance is a journey. Nobody has arrived on me. After we had all night yesterday, I called to brother. I said, brother, I need to be ministered to. Everybody, it's a journey of life. We are going through it. Are we still together?
Mm-hmm.
So never you feel too, look, how can I? Everybody needs deliverance. Are we still together? So please let us avail ourselves. Deliverance. It's very important. The Lord said, let my people go that they may what? Serve me. Deliverance is very important. The Lord help us in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing is ability to dissect our mind. Our mind is so complicated. But ability to be able to dissect it and put it in the right perspective under the light of God's word is very crucial. So that things doesn't come into your mind and your mind becomes like a trading ground, a market square where anything comes, any jam, anything comes. That your mind is fully saturated with God's word. And you know what is coming from God and what is not coming from afar.
Amen.
You can detect it.
Amen.
So guiding the loins of your mind. Bringing your mind under divine constraint. Casting down thought, imaginations. Because we are about to avenge all disobedience. But our own obedience must be what? Be complete. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Then the very last one, but not the least, is cultivating the habits and continually living in the consciousness of the love of the Father. Love of the Father. We won't go too much into all that, because that's not the main body, but it's just for us to know these four things that are important for us in this last hour. Loving the Father, loving his children. I think we spoke about that last week. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. So with that, we go straight to the body that I believe God will have me to share with us today. And I will title it, Write the Vision. Write the Vision. Write the Vision. There is a vision. Not write the visions. Write the vision. Just one. There's only one vision. And it must be written. And when you write it, what will happen? Let's go straight to the book of Habakkuk. I will talk generally, and then I will talk specifically about this assembly. But we are not a people that just gather just because we don't know what else to do. There's a vision before us. Are we still together? There is what?
A vision
before us. And that vision must be clear. I've had many people come to ask, oh, why is this? Why is this? I believe today there will be clarity as to why we are gathering like this. But first of all, let me talk about the general. Let me talk about the general vision. The vision that God has given to his people. Because whatever we are pursuing as a vision in this local assembly is tied to that general vision that God has given to his people. So when you see the global, when you see the general one, then it's much easier for you to draw out that which God will have us to walk in. So the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. And I want somebody who has the message to also open it, because we are going to read it in the two Bible, the two translations. This is in the King James. It said, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it what? Plain upon tables. That he may what? Run that readeth it. That he may sit down that readeth it. That he may play around a little that he did it. That he may what? Run that he did it. And the kind of race is not a 100-meter race. It's a long-distance race. That he did it, he may run. For the vision is yet for what? An appointed time. But at the end, what will happen? The vision. So it means the vision is a person. It means the vision is a person. If it's going to speak, then it means it's a being. It has ability to speak. And it will not lie. Though it tarry, so it makes us to know more that the vision is actually a person. What should you do? Wait for it. Because it shall surely come. It will not tarry.
Amen.
And the message said, and God answered, write this, write what you see, write it out in big blocks, letter, so that it can be read on the run. So there are two things. The vision is to create, is to make you to read it. Ability to read it, written in such a clear way that you can read it, no ambiguity about it. Number two, you must run. You must run. You don't read it sitting down. You don't read it playing politics. You read it running. King James make it to us as if you are standing before you read it and then you start running. But the message said, you are actually running and you are reading it. And I want to ask you, who can read something while running? How easy is it to be reading something while running? That's why you have to read it out and have to write that plainly in big block, big letter. So it must be large. It's not a tiny letter stick. It's not something you write in small. It has to be written big. So as you are reading it, you are running. So he said, write the vision and make it bold upon what? The tables of your heart. The seat of faith. The seat of faith and understanding and wisdom. Let it fill your heart. Write it plainly. And then when we read what the implication is if you don't write it plainly, let's go to Proverbs. We're still coming back to Hebrew. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. And we're going to read also in the message so that we can put the two together. What did he say? Verse 18. Where there is no vision, what happened? The people perish. But he that keepeth the law, the vision, happy is he. He that knows the vision and keepeth it and run with it, happy is it. Now let's read the message. What did the message say? If people can't see what God is doing, they do what?
They stumble over themselves.
They stumble over themselves. Because imagine I say, let everybody be running here now. Talk where took off and run here. I want to run here. What will happen? We jam. Eli took off from there and run there. The same time, this one run there. No vision. Because everybody is just doing what seemed right in their sight. The Bible said that was a time when there was no king in Judah. And everybody is just doing what seemed right in Israel. Everybody is just doing. So what happened? They all stumbled over each other. The priest stumbled over the people. The people stumbled over the priest. They will go and hire a priest, pay him money, and say, come and be our own priest. And they will be telling him what to minister. And he will also say, well, as long as you can be paying me, no problem. So they are stumbling over each other. Why? Because there is no vision. He said, if people are blind to what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, what happened? They are most blessed. So that's what we're talking about. Attending to what God has revealed. That is what this burden is all about. We need to attend to what God has revealed. And without dragging it too much, what has God revealed? Jesus Christ himself said, he said, nobody knows the Father. For the Son. No one knows the Son but the Father. And to who he wills, he reveals. So who is he revealing? Revealing his Son, Jesus Christ. God, from the beginning of creation, has always been in the business of revealing his Son, Jesus Christ. Those who are before he came were looking forward to him as the coming one, as the Redeemer, as the one that will deliver them. So they were looking up to him, all of them. From even Adam, they were looking for him. Enoch, Seth, Abel, all of them, they were looking forward to the coming one. The one we read, he said, he that shall come will come. So his name is the coming one. He comes and keep coming. And he will continue to come until he has changed you. to conform to his image. How did I know he come? That is why you must build a life of prayer. When he's coming, the first place he comes to is the altar. When he's coming to you, the first place he's coming to is the altar. That is his first landing point. So many scriptures to back it up, but let's just take one. The book of Luke, Zechariah. This is a man who had been praying and praying and praying. And when he was going to come, where did he come first? At the altar. At the altar. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. So, he comes and he keeps coming and he will continue to come until your change is complete in him. But if you don't create time to be with him, if you are so busy and caught up in the running around of this world, you will miss a lot of his coming. And at the end of the day, you will not experience that change. But all of us shall experience it. Why? Because he's going to put his hand upon you. Many of you are not saying amen.
Amen.
He's going to put his hand upon you.
Amen.
He's going to put his hand upon me.
Amen.
You know what that means? That means you are no longer free to do what you want to do.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
When you have a six-footer, huge, massive, and put his hand upon a child, maybe 5 years old, he has bounded that child there. That child wants to move. He said, no, this is where you are going to remain. His hand is going to come upon you and constrain you.
Amen.
So that the things that you love to do before that are hindering your move is going to restrain you from it.
Amen.
He will take it away from you.
Amen.
You will now have no choice but to develop a passion for him. Sometimes he will take you to the wilderness. Sometimes he will just take you to a place. You will cry there. When he will be wiping your tears, be comforting you. Then later on, when you come to terms, then can we talk now? Are you ready now? Because he will do this work. The Bible says in the book of, I think, Isaiah, he said, and he will wait. Let's go there. Isaiah, I think Isaiah 33 or so. Isaiah
30.
Thank you. Verse 18, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He said, and therefore will the Lord do what? Wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that what? Wait. The Lord is going to wait. What does that mean? He's going to patiently wait over you. In fact, another one says he's going to sit upon you. When somebody sits down, he's not in a hurry. Somebody who sits down is not in a hurry to leave. He said he's going to sit as what? A refiner's fire. A person that is refining. He's not doing it in a hurry. A refiner that sit down and put the thing in the fire, he's not in a hurry to go. So he sit down. He will sit until your full redemption and salvation is come. He will not even listen to your cry. I don't know what we want to say. Amen to that. With you in love. Oh, yes. In spite of what you may go through, he will sustain you.
Amen.
And you will come out more brighter, more glorious, more strong. Mm-hmm. But it's only for those who see what God is revealing. Those who does not see it, they will stumble over each other. They will be stumbling over vomit here and there. That's what is happening in the church system. There's a lot of stumbling. A lot of stumbling because many have completely forgotten the vision. The vision is no longer in focus. What they are following is the ideas or the vision of the president and founder, the pastor, the GOs, the bishops. It is what he tells them that they believe. But the vision of God is not received like that. The vision of God is not secondhand. Because God does not have grandchildren. All his children are direct born of him. So his vision is not secondhand. His communication is not secondhand. He speaks to you directly. Ezekiel said, and the word of God came to me, what? Expressly. No any intermediary. It came to me. And that is what God is doing with every one of us. When you cultivate the habit of seeking his face, when the spirit of prayer and supplication takes hold of you, and you learn to wait on him, meditate on his word, he will make it known to you. He will reveal it to you. I say there's a lot of stumbling in the church system. Part of the reason why we ran out of that system. Because there's a lot of stumbling. And because we desire to run this race without any distraction, it's part of the reason why we came out. The Lord called us out. We want to have Jesus alone as the main focus. David said, I have set the Lord always before me.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is constantly before me. He said in Psalm 23, he said, the Lord is what? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is constantly before me. And when we see how men are setting themselves before the congregation of God, when we see how men are setting up idols, shepherds, the Bible called them idol shepherds, we say, it's time to move. It's time to go. And particularly when you approach some of them and say, brother, can we do that? No, you haven't called me a brother. That's insult. Don't you know my name? I'm a bishop, apostle, pastor. And then we know, it's time to pack bag and run. So the main cause is a cause whereby everyone in the house, everyone assembled under God, have that one link to God, have that one to God link. It's an emphasis in this way. And everyone that has come has realized it. Praise the name of Jesus. So let's go back. Habakkuk. And God said, write the vision and make it plain, make it bold. And when you make it bold, the person that is reading it will run. If the person is running before, he will keep running. If the person has not started running, the moment he starts reading it, he will start running. So it's a vision, it's a thing that will propel you to run. It's going to push you. It's going to energize you. And Paul described the race to us. He said we all run in a race, isn't it? He said, we all run in a race. Why are we running in the race? He said that we might win the crown. He said, so I run. So the race that is set behind, he said again in the book of Hebrew, he said, run this race with what? With patience. You don't run 100-meter race with patience. You throw all the caution to the wind. The only thing is that you make sure you maintain your life. Or else you will be disqualified. But when it comes to a 10,000 meter race, that's 10 kilometer race. And you don't run that one with all your strength. You have to be patient. Sometimes they will run past you. Sometimes you will be at the back. Sometimes you will move on. But ultimately, you will make it. Praise the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So there is a running that is involved. And that I want to drive it in. I want to drive in the aspect of the running. Because if you are reading it and you are not running, it means you are not reading it. When you read and you truly read and understand it, you can't sit down. There will be fire in your bones. There will be a deep hunger, a deep push in you. You can't sit down. You can't play religion. You can't play churchianity. You are not after religion and churchianity. When the vision is clear, you are going to run. And your race will have a focus. There is a pull. There is a continuous pull. That race is set before you and me. Let's look at what Paul said about this race. I think that should be Corinthians, isn't it? Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Know ye not that what? Know ye not that they which run in a race run what? All, but one receiveth the prize. So what? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it, that is, they run to obtain a corruptible, but we are incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I. Not as one that beateth the air, but I do what? I keep under my body and bring it on into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Amen.
Amen.
The book of Timothy also, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. The race course that is set, I have finished it. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that also do the word. Love is appearing. So here we see Paul running. But what was the motivation? There was a vision written in his heart, which is pushing him. And what is the theme of that vision? He loved his appearing. He longed for his appearing. He is committed to the coming of the Lord. He is not vague about the truth regarding the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord. And the Habakkuk we read, he said, he that shall come, shall come. And because Paul knew that his life attaining to the fullness of what he believed is tied to his coming. So he makes it a duty in his heart to love his appearing. So he longs for his appearing. And when you long and love his appearing, we're talking about prayer, you will pray. You will love to pray. When his appearing means so much to you, you will give yourself to constant prayers. But when you do not know about his appearing, he gave us a description. He said, there is an evil servant, isn't it? What did he say the evil servant will be doing? He said that put away the day of the coming of the Lord. He said, look, the Lord's coming, the Lord delayed his coming. He said, the master delayed his coming. So what did he start doing? He started beating. Am I talking to all of us? We know that scripture? Okay. He said, there is an evil servant who say in his heart, my Lord, my master, delayed his coming. There's another one again, I think in the book of Peter or so. He said, the scorners, the scornful one that scorned and said, the coming of the Lord, we have been hearing that for ages. Nothing changed. So these are categories of believers who have known, because he's a master, he's a servant of the master. But he has denied the coming of the Lord. It is no longer a reality to him. So there is nothing, it's not moving him. And he said, when that master comes, what will he do? He will consign his portion with the unbelievers. Oh, is he there? Okay. Praise the Lord. So those are the ones. But there is this one, Paul, and many others. He said, not for me only, but all. And I want to be part of that all.
Amen.
That look, that Lord is appearing. He said, those who look for him shall he what? Appear the second time without sin. Not those who attend church. Not those who sing and clap hands. But those who what? Look. Please, if you know that scripture, put it on the board. I think it's Hebrew. Hebrew, chapter 9, 7. Those who look for his appearing. Those who look for his coming. So that is it. We have established two things. There is a race. There is a vision. The vision is a person. And as you intently desire the appearance of this person, you keep the race. And you will make it at the end. Many people go to church today just because it's Sunday. Or my parents used to go. They really do not know the meaning, the reason. And I won't blame many people because they go to church and the church leader does not really tell them. So they just make it a routine. Just a routine. Please. Today, that routine is going to end.
Amen.
When you are coming, you know you are coming for a business. Church attendance has become a ritual to many. Oh, if I don't go, the pastor will ask, why didn't you come? Oh, if I don't come, my friend will say, oh, brother, we didn't see you yesterday. What happened? So the reason why they go to church, the reason why they go is they will go to fellowship. We go to service. We normally call it service. We go for a service. And the ghost of service. How is the service? Fine. What did the man of God preach? Can't remember. But he remember the offering. He remember the tithe. He remember every other thing. What did the Lord say? The Lord said, I don't know that one. So they have make a merchandise of the people of God. And he said the leaders, the people to love it so. The leaders are deceiving them and the people love it so. They love it. They want it. We will not be deceived.
Amen.
You will know him. And you will run after him. Oh, we sang that song. Draw me after you. And let us what?
Run.
How do you run together except the vision is clear to you?
Amen.
Let us run together. So he that readeth will run. He's not running alone. You are running together with him. Let's take from that song. Running together with him in the race. So, let's come home a little. We have said the vision is a person, and we identify it in the person of Jesus Christ. That is the goal. That is the reason why you attend any church, is Jesus Christ. If at the end of the service, if at the end of this, you cannot pinpoint, you cannot relate anything to him, you don't have any business being there. Relate anything to him in what dimension? Relate everything to him in the dimension in which my wife spoke. First, about the great things he has done, and the song we sang, and about the greater things he will yet do. We sang that song, isn't it? Great things he has done, greater things. So when you come, you are reminded of the great things he has done. It's not that you have forgotten, but the service, the ministry, the singing, the fellowship will crystallize it more. It will be repeated in various ways that by the time you are leaving, you have come to contact with the great things he has done and the greater things he will yet do become more clearer to you. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. But when you go and you don't know the great things he has done, you are not reminded of it. It's not brought to your consciousness. It does not arrest your thought and your mind. And you are not made to see the greater things which is before us. Then you have not gotten anything. So there is a great thing he has done. And there is a greater thing he will yet do. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So that those are the things we have picked from there. So we run this race. We set our heart to run this race. We have him in focus. And he will surely get us there. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's bring it home. Because we're talking about him. Now, what is it about him that is pulling us? What is it about him that is so attractive, that is so beautiful, that cannot just let you go? What is it about him that whenever it is mentioned, something leaps inside of you? Whenever it is mentioned, there's a kind of an energizing strength that comes into it. It's like you should explode. What is it about him? In the book of Isaiah, I said, when you see him, he said there is really nothing to behold in his beauty. Are we still together and all that? But yet, he's the perfection of beauty. He's the excellency of glory. And those who know him will look for him. Because he's the perfection of all beauty. That's why the psalmist in Psalm 45, describing. He said, my heart is what? I speak of the things of touching the king. For his what? Where is it?
My tongue.
Of the pen of bread. The next bar. Thou art fairer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. He's beautiful beyond description. And that beauty arrests you. You don't want to go. You want to stay there. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. May we see his beauty. Yeah. It's heart captivating.
Hallelujah.
It's totally arresting. You don't want to leave. So you wonder why people like Paul will say, I look for his appearing. He has been spoiled with his beauty. Every other beauty fades to nothing in the light of this surpassing beauty. And mark you, it's not the beauty of the senses. It's not the beauty of the mind. It's the beauty of the Spirit. He's beautiful. The book of the same Psalm says, he's beautiful for what? All situations. Who don't like beautiful things? We all like, okay, who likes beautiful things? We like beautiful things. When you know this beauty, every other beautiful thing you have ever thought of or imagined will fade away. Now, what does beauty do to a person that is beholding it? It captivates. It arrests. Young men, you know what I'm talking about. We will not say more than that. Eh? Young men, you know what I'm talking about. Uh-huh. They say beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, isn't it? When you see them, you say, ah, this is your house here. This is our house there. Say, it's better for me to go that way. It's the same choice. The journey will no longer be far again. He said, brother, this is a shortcut. He said, no. That place is better. You know that a beauty is already, you know. My wife was in Lagos. I was in Kaduna. Lagos is like, it's just 2 minutes away. Thank you. It's not like 2 minutes away. It's not like 2 minutes away. It's not like 2 minutes. You got it there. I'm sure you've been there, so you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. It's a witness. So I have at least four witnesses here. But they know what I'm talking about. No longer. Even if you are in BC and she's a witness. Oh, no, you must come back. You must come to Winnipeg. That's bad. Great thing. Even if you're in BC, I'm telling you, am I talking to somebody? No, I'm just talking to you. I said, even if you're in BC. I mean, you know, BC is the end of the earth. That's the very end of Canada. Eh? And the person is in Winnipeg. Hey, look, who doesn't like BC here? No, who doesn't like BC? Hey, good weather, 24/7. No snow. You are just there. And then you come to this snow area. Ha! No. You come to this snow area where at least 3 months or 4 months, or you have to be moving. That is what the effect of a beauty do. That's what beauty does. And that's why when you behold his beauty, you are ready to do anything. No wonder men, he said, we count not our life to be dear to us. He said that in nothing will we be ashamed. That we are ready that whether by life or by death. In fact, in a place he said we have passed a sentence of death on ourselves. I will not trust ourselves anymore. We are ready to die. What could make people to go to that extent? Not fearing the terror of Rome. Giving themselves over because they see a beauty. I see such beauty there that no man can. I worship. Beyond the veil. Oh, my son, the Lord, I love to come. I long to come into your holiest place. To look upon your face. Hallelujah. I see. Yay. I see some beauty there. times where the womb of the morning is, in the holies of holies. Amen. Praise the Lamb of God. So you see that beauty. And like I said, it's not the beauty of the senses. It's not the beauty of the senses. It's the beauty of the Spirit. And what is that beauty? Let's bring it more nearer to us. So that we don't begin to be, I want to see Jesus. I want to see his face. Hey, God, show me. And they begin to go for apparition. Is that apparition? Forget about all these things. People can see all that and still yet not make it. Say, oh, Jesus appeared to me. So, can appear to you. What is interesting is what did he say? So when I hear people talking, I saw a vision. I said, I'm listening to hear what the scripture God gave them. That is the main thing. And I want to come and let you know that there is a beauty set before us. And it is his promises. His words. His word is beauty. His promises is beautiful. His word is beautiful. His promises is beautiful. His law is beautiful. His commandment is beautiful.
Hallelujah.
His status is beautiful. That's why he said in that, he said, grace is poured upon thy lips. Because what comes out of that lips, they are beautiful words. They are words of grace. Whether it comes in form of commandment or law or whatever, they are all full of grace. Never did any man spoke like him. His word leaped up the cast down and bring them up. When he saw the weary, when he spoke to them, they become strong. His word brought forth the dead in the grave. Oh, his word gave smile into the face of Mary Magdalene. He said, I do not condemn you. He said, go and sin no more. Such a perfect speeches coming out of his lips. He has given us plenty of it.
Hallelujah.
Plenty of it in speeches. And when you relate to his speeches, particularly reflecting on his promise and his blessings upon you, you cannot bet to love him. You cannot bet to shout hallelujah. So when I remember his promises, when I remember his promises, when I remember his promises, when I remember his promises. When a young man proposed to a lady, what has he given her?
Promise.
Promise. Say, this promise, I'm not sure you need to bring your, put an engagement in there. That's all. So you're okay now. What? And then she, what does she do with the engagement ring? Go and hide it. And she will do it like this. She wants to take picture. Oh, you are not taking this picture well. Make sure that. Because she has received a promise. And Jesus has given us a promise. Look into those promises. You will see his beauty there. You see his beauty. Another word again, he said, glorious things are spoken of you. Those contain his promises. So we're going to start from the number one promise, where he actually started, where all other promises are tied to. Because when we talk about the promises, you just wonder, which one am I going to look at now? And usually, normally, average believer, when you talk about the promise of God, butter my garri, sweet, okay, sorry, butter my bread, sugar my garri, thank you very much. You know, it's all about what they will eat, what they will drink, what they will wear. That is all they look at in his form. Whenever, anywhere they read, is how it is tied to that. I told you of the time I was listening to a man of God preaching, and I was so captivated with his preaching. So arresting. I was traveling from Benin to what I called, and we put it on. Listening, when we got to Sapele, how is he going to round it up? Said, the summary of everything I'm telling you today. Any of you who have been on the 100 naira, you will go to 1,000 naira. Everybody say amen. Everyone that has been struggling with 1,000, you go to 1 million. Then I said, then Dangote and all that, then they don't need the gospel. They are okay. If this is all that is tied to it. But that is where we have it. Everything is now tied to money. And because of that, people lost sight of what the promise is. And because they could not understand what he promised, they get sidetracked. So we're going to go back to the book of the beginning and look at the tenets of his promise. And when you see him in that promise, and I want to tell you that all other promises he gives, they are all an extra or a further elaboration on those ones in Genesis. A promise, a word of blessing. Amen.
Amen.
When you understand those promises, when they are clear to you, when your spirit man has taken hold of them, you run this race. You are not sidetracked. You are focused. So let's go back to the book of Genesis. And then we will look at it from there. Okay, before we go there, let me just read one of the things I wrote down. The vision refers to a person that personifies the plan, the purpose, the counsel, and the will of God. And usually, God chooses to keep it secret. Maybe we should dwell on that first before we move on. God chooses to keep it secret. This vision we're talking about. It has to be given to you by revelation. And it's not just for any kind comer. It is for the diligent seekers. Those who long for it. In, I think, the book of Matthew chapter 18, Jesus Christ said, what did the nation say that I am? This one said, Peter, what did you say I am? That said, thou art Christ, the Son of God. What did he say? He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this, but my Father has revealed it to you. It is the Father's duty to reveal the Son to you and me. But he said, For it is given to you to understand, to know the mystery, to understand it, because it's a mystery. He said, but to them it's not given. In fact, to them he said, he even blind their eyes, that they may not see. He deafened their ears, that they could not hear, so that he would not turn around and save them. But he said, to you it's not so. So he gave it to some people. Oh, what made them special? Because they sought him. Because they are a diligent seeker. Number one. Number two, because they treasure high the things of God. They are not flippant with the things of God. They are not like Esau. They are not Esau in their relationship with God. The things of God mean so much to them. They value it. So, God keep it secret. But a person who really value it will seek for it. And when you seek for it, you will find it. Oh, everybody know Jesus Christ too. Everybody. Go to the church, they will sing many songs about him. They will do a lot, they will preach a lot. But what did he say? He said, many of them only come to me with what? With their lips. But their heart is far away. And a prophecy, I think I shared that prophecy. He said they will begin to worship him that they do not know. They will begin to pray to him that they do not say, Lord. And I said, where? In the early revival. He said, that's what is happening today. They pray to him, they call him, they promise him, but do they know him? They don't. That's why Jesus Christ told the woman, he said, you worship the things you know not. What a terrible thing to worship what you don't know. And that is the state of many people in the church today. They go to church, they go to service, but they are worshiping him whom they do not know. Why? Because he has not been revealed to them by the Father. Why? Because they do not desire him. They do not look for him. They are content with their feeding bottle that they give to them every Sunday. On Sunday, everybody come and put their feeding bottle there. And the pastor put milk there. And they will all carry it. Bye-bye, see you next Sunday. None of them will open their Bible anymore. They are content with that. Such a people, what will be disturbing them to give them this vision? It will be a disturbance. So it will not bother them. But those among them that say, look, I want something more. When a child begins to throw away his feeding bottle, you know that he's asking for something more, isn't it? You say, Junior, this is everybody, throw it away. You know that he's asking for something more. And that is it. When you get to a point in your Christian walk, when what the church system provides does not satisfy, you are not satisfied with all those gimmicks they play, then you are coming into maturity. The book of Hebrews chapter 5. The later part of it. So, he keep it secret. So many people can read it. You can read the book of Genesis, but it's, their eyes is blind. They can't see it. You will read something in the book and it will arrest you. You will stay there. You are connected to it. You are not connected to it based on bread and butter, you are connected based on eternal value. You look at it in the light of eternity. You are connected to it. It arrests you. Why some will gloss over it and just go? Oh, what day was it? My heart was. When somebody was reading Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And when you pass through the valley of the shadow of death, you shall fear. And the person stopped at that place. When you pass through the valley of the shadow of death, and all he's saying is from the valley of the shadow of death. And he said so much for almost 1 hour. But read it. Is that the whole statement? No, that's just half of the statement. And he pumped it out that he pumped out the fear of the people so much. And they begin to pray in their own prayer. And I want to tell you something. Please don't pray out of fear. We're talking, I'll talk about deliverance. Deliverance is not, hey, all my enemy that doesn't want me to progress. That is not the deliverance. That's not the deliverance we're talking about. You pray from the point of victory. You pray from the point of victory. You are not struggling for it. You are not fighting to get it. It's already in you. You are only to enforce it. That's all. There's nothing you can do. The spiritual battle is not fought by many. It's fought by one. The battle of the ages is fought by one. Goliath said, look, we don't need to all begin to cut ourselves. What is it? Just give me one man, that's all. He was speaking for the mind of God. The manner of his deliverance for all humanity. That's what Goliath is speaking of. Because God is the God of all the nations. He can speak from the mouth of a donkey. He can also use Goliath to speak his word. At that time, the Spirit of God was the one that moved him to say that. He wasn't just speaking from his head. Because that is the eternal plan of God. That is where God is zeroing everything to. That at the end of the age, it's not going to be everybody bringing his sword and fighting. It's going to be a battle of one man to one man. And the winner wins all. And you must allow that truth to sink into your heart. That it's not you coming to fight Satan. Don't bother yourself. You can't. You don't have what it takes to do that. But when you key into him who conquers him, you can stand. You are not only conquering, you are more than conqueror.
That's right.
And you are not more than conqueror because you fast or you pray or you do this thing. You are more than conqueror because of what? Through him. That what? Oh, that loves us. Mark that statement. Through him that loves us, as I will overcome. So when you pray from that standpoint, when you are receiving deliverance, that is the one God honors. So by the time the man has finished, oh, your enemy, they are doing this. The devil is doing this. Hey, this, oh, valley of the shadow of death. This is the way I let everybody pray. And he said, that's what is all this. It's not what he's saying. It's not what he's saying. Children of God, you are more than conqueror.
Amen.
You are not struggling for the victory. It's already in you.
Amen.
All that God is asking you is to enforce the victory. That's all. You are an enforcer. He said this honor has always said to what? To execute the judgment. As a judgment written, brethren. The judgment has sat. The judgment has been given. And the judgment has been written. And that's why Jesus Christ came to write the judgment. And he wrote it and signed it with his blood. It is for you to carry it and execute it. Execute the judgment. How do you execute it? Use your mouth. Use your mouth. Say it exactly as the Bible says it.
Glory, hallelujah.
If you don't know anything, just take it and read it. Just read it over your life. I brother read Isaiah 41 for you. Just take it and read it. He said, they that are incensed against you shall what? Oh, when you pray, they will perish. What did he say? Shall perish. They that contend against you shall be what? Zero. Less than zero. Minus. That's nothing and less than nothing. I want to ask you, brethren. Is there any battle the people of Israel fought and won by the sheer strength of their mind? Were there times when they come against many nations together, 5-10 nations at the same time, and they were able to overcome? Oh, because they had mighty army. When was the time when they lose battle? So never you think that it is you, it's your by your mind. All you need to do is to come into this secret place. Understand what he has said about you, internalize it, and let it fill your mind and walk in the reality of it. And use your mouth to enforce it. In this situation of my life, this is what the word of God says, and this is what I believe, and this is what I establish. Thank you. Let's move on. Let's move on quickly. So it's a secret thing. Deuteronomy 29:29 said, the secret thing belongs to the Lord, our God. But those things which are revealed belongs to us. There are things that the Lord reveals. And the principal thing he revealed is about his son, Jesus Christ. Psalm 25, verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Proverbs 25, verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to do what? To search out the matter. Luke chapter 10, verse 21 to 22. Said, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, of Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast done what? Reveal them unto the babe. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight, that all things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and to whom the Son will he reveal him. We know him by his revelations. And what he revealed, when we attend to him, we keep running this race. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. So, we will go and just start in the book of Genesis, like I said, which is the very beginning stages of him that is to come. That is the first stage when he was revealed. Okay, Genesis chapter 1. We'll just read it and then go to another one. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image and what? After our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, including mosquitoes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Somebody was asking about mosquitoes yesterday in our Bible study group. Is that why mosquito too? When you have victory over fish, over this thing, what is mosquito doing there? Are we still together? So that is the first place where he was revealed. Oh, you said, but this is talking about Adam. This is talking about the first man. And since Adam has failed, that promise too has gone into extinct. But no. Yes, Adam was called to partake of it, but he failed. And one who is called the last Adam, the second man, fulfilled this. He's the man. He's the man referred to here. Amen. This promise, yes, was meant for Adam. But seeing that Adam disqualified himself from entering into it, one that come in the similitude of that same Adam, fulfilled the condition, and this was conferred upon him. And what did he say in verse 27? And God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and then have what? Dominion. It is the promise of dominion. It is the mandate of dominion that God has promised man from the beginning. That man lost in Adam. that Jesus Christ came to restore back to us. He came to give it back to you and me. That all other promise, all other blessings are tied to this. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. And then have what? Have dominion. He created them, male and female, which picture Christ and his body. Christ and his body. The body of Christ, the church of the living God, is the female, is the bride, and Christ is the head, the male, that governs, that rules. And he said to them, to who? To them. Who are the them? The male and the female. Bounded together in one. Christ and his body. The promise, the blessing is unto them. Be fruitful. Be multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it. And then have dominion. It is this promise of having dominion that is the main quest of man from the beginning. All his exploration to the sky and to the depth is all about having dominion. But Jesus Christ has come to restore that dominion to you and me. But the process is there given to us clearly. The process is, first of all, you must be fruitful. You must bear fruit after his kind. You must multiply. That is, your fruit must come into full age, full maturity. Must be ripe enough to be eaten. You must replenish. That is, fill the earth. And which earth is he referring to? This earth we are standing on? Yeah, at the larger fulfillment. But primarily, this very earth must be filled, must be replenished. Amen. Must be replenished and then have subdued. Subdue all the things that are contrary, are raising up their head against the Lordship of Christ. Subdue them and then dominion is yours. And we are going to round it up here. Verse 28 again. Oh, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Say, and the Lord bless them. Please, read it again. What did the Lord do?
Bless them.
The Lord bless them. Every other blessing, Abraham's blessing, David's blessing, all other blessings you can read about in the Bible, they are in this verse.
Amen.
They are in this verse. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue the first phase of the effect of the blessing, which is what you and me are being trained towards. This is what you and me are being exercised towards. This is why the Holy Spirit is given to you and me. This is why we have the Word of God. This is why Jesus Christ came. This is the first leg of redemption. For redemption has two legs. There is the initial redemption we have in him, which is what we are enjoying, but that is the full redemption which is to come. This explains the first phase of the redemptive plan. The redemptive plan of God is not an accidental plan. It's not an emergency plan. It's the eternal plan of God. And when the plan is made known to you, you cannot be too wrong. And Jesus Christ is the personage of that eternal plan, of that redemptive plan, from the beginning to the end. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the sum total of that redemptive plan of God. When the vision about the redemptive plan is plain to you, you will run. And how is the redemptive plan communicated to you in redemptive blessings? Oh, you want to see the two sides of it? Okay, let's go to Ephesians. Then we just try to, so that we can tie it up very well. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. What did he say? Verse 7. He said, in whom we are going to have redemption. What did he say? In whom we have redemption. We have already have it. And what is this redemption? We are given the power, the blessing. For the verse 3 says, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Isn't it? Now, he now said, we have redemption. What are the streams of this redemption? What we read in Genesis, fruitfulness after his kind. Multiply, replenish the earth and subdue. That is the one he's referring to here. Then let's take a jump and come to verse 14. He said, which is the earnest, okay, the Holy Spirit of promise, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until, but you already have redemption. You already have redemption. In verse 7 we read that. In whom you have redemption. Which one is until again? That is the dominion restored. That is the dominion restored. The redemption in the until is the one that restored the dominion, which is the main mandate that God gave to man. And that will be exercised by the whole body of Christ. Christ being the head and we being the body. Full dominion. That is the plan of God. That is the visions before us. The redemptive plan. The work of redemption. In his first states, the great thing he has done, the first redemption, the great thing he has done, making us fruitful, bearing the fruit of Christ, making us multiply. Those are the great things he has done. But greater thing he's going to do in the redemption, in the full redemption, is going to restore the dominion to us. So when that is before you, will you seek dominion now? Will you seek to rule among men? Will you seek your kingdom in this earth? That is the vision we talk about. Why are people eager to build a kingdom? Why are people so thirsty of building a name? Why is the church system so full of building names and personality and all that? Why is it so? Because they do not have the vision. They are blind related to the vision. Jesus Christ said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. Say, I have come to bear witness to the truth. Say, if my kingdom, I would have called my duty to fight for me. But what is the church seeking for now? They are seeking for the kingdom of this world. So they build churches and call it after their name. Build city, building a kingdom. Just like it was in the day of Nimrod. Let's build a city that reaches to the high. That's what the church is building today. And that's why God said, come out from the midst of her and be ye separate. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So that is the vision. It is a person, Jesus Christ, the coming one, the one who revealed the entire plan and purpose of God for the total redemption of the whole creation back to God. And the redemption ends when total dominion is restored back to man. Christ, the first fruit, has gotten that dominion, for death has no power over him. He conquered death. He conquered every penalty and everything that the devil brought into the world by the first man, Adam. And now he's seated in glory. And you and me, as we follow on to know him, as we press on, as we run this race, we are accounted worthy also to sit with him on the throne as he overcame and sat on the Father's throne. So the vision of attaining to the throne is arrested men like Paul. The throne, the call to the throne was so vivid to him. He was not going to build any throne here on earth. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. He looked forward to that city that has a throne, a foundation. And he was accounted worthy of it. But when people lost sight of it, we begin to think of, oh, we want to build our own kingdom. And they lose the vision and they begin to run over each other. Like the book, that the message said about it. Oh, I want to build a bigger church. I want to build a bigger. Everybody begin to run after each other. The choir are running after the Bible study. Everybody is just running after to outdo each other. But God has delivered us from such, isn't it? God has done what delivered us from such. And that's why we are all here. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So do what? Keep your eyes upon the vision. Run that race. And keep running. And the God of glory will account you worthy to inherit the promise. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the name of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Now we should round up here. Because the time is really gone. Can't go it further. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Be fruitful. Multiply, replenish the earth and subdue. You forgot to subdue. Hallelujah. He must subdue. He must subdue. And what is it that we must subdue? We must subdue this body. Paul said, I put it under what? Subjection. As I run this race, I run and I keep this body under subjection. About the literal act, don't worry about that one. Once this earth is totally redeemed, that other one will be redeemed. For the earth is fully in groaning right now, but is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God for you and me. So put this body, put it under. Don't let it put you under. Put it what? Put it under. Subdue it. Let it show for the fruitfulness as the character of God, as the nature of God is showing forth in this physical body, in your conversation, in your conduct, as you seek to manifest his nature, his character in this body. What are you doing? You are bearing the fruits. You are being fruitful. So that you might bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, which are by Christ Jesus unto the glory and praise of God Almighty. Be fruitful in every good work. Fruitfulness and multiply, that is the fruit, becoming mature. If it is love becoming mature. If it is patience, becoming mature. All the nine fruit becoming mature, that is when it is multiplied. It's not aborted. It doesn't fall prematurely. Replenish the earth. That is, let all that constitute this body be filled with the likeness of God. Replenish means to fill up. Fill it up. Fill it up. Fill it with the divine nature. Fill it with the divine character. Fill it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Fill it continually. Let it be filled up. Say, Lord, fill me with your divine nature. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me. Fill me. That is replenishing. And as you replenish, you begin to subdue. Begin to subdue. Because what happens? When you multiply after the kind of God, any other kind will diminish. They will lose their strength. And you'll be able to subdue them. When you multiply the kinds of God, the character of God, the likeness of God, when your focus is upon Him and you are running the race continually, multiplying the character, what happened to the other nature that are not of Him? They will diminish. And you'll be able to subdue them. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And what is He preparing for? He's preparing you for the final pledge, which is the restoration of dominion. And the people are going to exercise dominion under Christ on the earth. You have been numbered among them. I am numbered among them. Let us rise up together and make this call real. And the God of heaven will help each one of us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the name of Jesus. Let's rise to our feet. Let's rise to our feet. What is your position relative to the vision? What is your position? Is it something that has taken hold of you? Or is it something that you take and drop? Is it something that is propelling you to wrong? Or is something